We are back here on KBR tonight. Kerry Crowley filling in for FP Santangelo. Pleasure to be with you as we break down today's 7-1 Giants loss to the Minnesota Twins. A day after they climb all the way back to 500, the Giants lose, but they still win the series. That doesn't put a damper on the great ball they've been playing of late. And here to help break it all down, our friend, fan-sided editor for the San Francisco Giants and Around the Foghorn, Jeff Young. Jeff, how are you this evening?
Hey, Kerry, thanks for having me on the show. I'm doing well. I think the key for the Giants right now is the fact that they won three series in a row. So if they can keep that momentum going, I mean, today wasn't too aesthetically pleasing to the eye, but, you know, you're not going to win every game.
Yeah, it felt like we saw the 2022 defense, the April defense, the bad Anthony DeSclafani. It felt like everything that could go wrong did go wrong for the Giants today. So maybe more of an aberration than what we've seen this month.
Yeah, I mean, we were due for that, especially after the surprising comeback that they had yesterday, right? I mean, I think they were I might be blanking on the details, but I think they were down 3-0 and ended up winning 4-3. So those games happen. I feel like this the poor defense that we saw today was a little bit of an outlier compared to what we've seen throughout the season. So this isn't really a game that's too concerning. It's going to happen.
Yeah, big opportunity for the Giants in Milwaukee, and then they come home, take on the Pirates and the Orioles. And so I wonder your first impressions of Patrick Bailey as a catcher. 2020 first-round draft pick a year ago, I would have thought it was insane to be talking about major league catcher Patrick Bailey considering where he was. But I know that you track the farm system closely. What have you liked about this guy thus far?
Yeah, it's a little surprising to see him be with the Giants at this point in the season. I mean, he began the year in Double-A. Got a very quick promotion to Triple-A, and he's already with the Giants. So that wasn't what I was expecting when the year began, but it's a pleasant surprise. I think you know, what stands out to me is what stands out to a lot of people is you know, his defensive acumen. You know, he's just a very good catcher. His pitch framing is excellent. You know, you see it with a guy like Alex Cobb pitching, who typically throws lower in the strike zone, and you know, Patrick Bailey's framing on the lower part of the zone is typically where he excels, and then we've kind of seen instances of that so far in just a couple of games. So, I mean, for me, his defense as a whole stands out. His blocking has been pretty good. His you know, he's shown off his arm a couple of times, and even the bat has looked pretty good. I think you know, he hit that home run a couple of days ago as a right-handed hitter, but I feel like his left-handed swing is probably his stronger side, and that's typically been the case during his career in the minors. So it's, you know, it's exciting to see him. You know, he's very well regarded defensively, so that's kind of what stands out. And I think that that, you know, may not be there right away, but I feel like it should come around at some point.
Yeah, I got to be honest, Jeff. When he was called up, I looked at Gabe Kapler's quote where he said, you know, he's not just a fill-in. He's here. We believe in him. And I thought, well, that's nice, but it really feels like he is a fill-in. And then seeing him these first few days, that defense is so hard to deny, especially when, you know, Joey Bart has worked really hard to get solid behind the plate defensively. Blake Sable has done everything in his power, put in a ton of time with the coaches. But those guys defensively are not what Patrick Bailey is, and it's so valuable. You saw the way you brought up the movement that Alex Cobb had on his pitches. There's a reason Logan Webb was so excited about throwing to him on Saturday. And so I think that even if he's able to just do a little bit with the bat, there's a ton of reason to believe that he could stick and not have to go back down to AAA.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. I mean, Gabe Kapler, you know, when he was originally called up, which was just a couple of days ago, I thought this was going to be a temporary fit. But Gabe Kapler poured cold water on that pretty quickly, and it feels like this is, you know, his opportunity to take advantage of if he performs. And I think in the early going, the pitching staff has to like what they've seen, and you know, the bat will hopefully come around. But you know, it's important to mention that Joey Bart's on the injured list, and I don't know if he's going to lose the starting job while being on the injured list. I think he'll have a chance to come back and you know, prove what he can do. But it is, you know, fair to point out that Patrick Bailey's strong side is from the left side. And with how the Giants typically leverage platoon matchups, that means he's going to see a lot of you know, starts against right-handed pitching, which is, you know, the type of pitcher that teams typically see more often than not. It's about a two-thirds, one-third split between left-handed and right-handed pitching. So I think, you know, it might be tough for Joey Bart to come back and, you know, prove what he can do. But I think the Giants are going to try and give him a chance to, you know, continue to show that, you know, that he can be the guy. But, you know, with what Patrick Bailey has shown so far, I mean, there's a lot to like.
Yeah, absolutely. We're chatting with fan-sided editor for the San Francisco Giants and Around the Foghorn, Jeff Young, who does such a great job commentating on the team, talking about the team, writing about the team. And, Jeff, the interesting component of this whole Joey Bart, Patrick Bailey discussion is the Giants have a ton of incentive to keep the third catcher, Blake Sable, on the roster. But I also think that the Rule 5 draft pick component is compelling enough. But when you throw in the fact that Sable has been hitting the way that he has, if Bart comes back and he's good defensively, you can make the case. Just leave Sable in the outfield or as a DH, and the Giants are set up pretty well. I love what I've seen from him, especially in May.
Yeah, he's only gotten better as the season has progressed, which is a pretty positive sign. Earlier in the year, he had a really high strikeout rate, and his strikeout rate's still pretty high. But it's definitely improved in May. And one of the things that stands out with watching Blake Sable hit is, you know, when he does make contact, it is impactful contact. The exit velocity is there. You know, he's barreling up a lot of pitches. That's not something you can really teach. So, you know, if the strikeout rate does come, you know, if the strikeout rate does come down even more from what we've been seeing, I mean, there's a lot to like with his bat. So I think, you know, you make a good point that left field might be the better longer-term fit for him. But given, you know, how light the Giants are defensively behind the plate, I mean, he's still probably going to see some starts at catcher this year as a way to get his bat into the lineup. So I think once Joey Bart does return, I think the challenge is going to be finding a way to keep Blake Sable's bat in the lineup, especially against right-handed pitching, because that's where he's doing his most damage. So, he's looked good so far, and somebody, you know, that the Giants got on the Rule 5, which is not easy to do. I mean, the hit rate is pretty low on position players or just players in general. So the Giants have to like what they've seen and the progress that he's made and the improvements that he's made. Catcher may not be the best long-term fit, but, you know, he's putting in the work. And, you know, the hope is that he can improve as the season progresses defensively.
Yeah, very well said. And I definitely want to get to questions about a few Giants prospects for you, Jeff. But one last one about the Major League team. We've talked a lot about the young kids, Bailey and Casey Schmidt and Blake Sable and what they brought to this team. I wonder, moving forward, they climbed back to .500 last night and, of course, fall back to 24 and 25 today. But they've played better ball in the month of May. And I think a month ago, if I asked you this question, we'd say that the bullpen is the biggest concern. The bullpen has turned things around. So moving forward, if the Giants are going to jump into this playoff race and be a factor, what is your biggest concern? What do you think that this team needs to address?
I think the bullpen has been a concern throughout the year. It's been better in May. I think it's one of those things that you don't really want to sleep on. It's the most fluid part of any roster. So that's one area that they should look to upgrade, whether it's on the waiver wire or it's on the minor league free agent market. That's definitely one area that they should continue to tinker with. It's been better lately though. So that's a promising sign. To me, the thing that stands out right now is the back end of the starting rotation. Logan Webb, Anthony DeSclafani, and Alex Cobb have all been very good this year. But that hasn't been the case with guys like Ross Stripling, who's on the injured list now, and Sean Manaea. Both of them have struggled pretty badly this year. So I think if you're looking at ways to improve the roster, the bullpen and the back end of the rotation are two things that stick out in my mind. And then maybe even another middle infielder wouldn't hurt, somebody who can come off the bench and play multiple positions. So those are a few things that stand out if the Giants want to get back into the playoff picture.
Yeah, I like that call. And back into the rotation kind of, you know, funnels me into my next question for you. Last night, Kyle Harrison struck out 9 of the 15 batters he faced at AAA Sacramento. I'm saying one more start like that, and the Giants give him a shot in the big leagues. Are you as bullish on that, or are you feeling like he could be 3, 4, five starts away, because I feel like so many of us are in agreement, it's just inevitable that we're going to see Kyle Harrison at the big league level this year.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to keep him down there if he has another start like that. I mean, he was pretty electric last night. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to watch his start. I've watched a few so far this year. But last night, I mean, the numbers really, really, you know, jumped off the charts. Yeah, if he has another start or a couple more starts like that, it wouldn't be surprising to see him get called up, especially, you know, just mentioning that the back end of the rotation does need some work. I mean, he could definitely be an option to slot into the back end pretty quickly. I think what the Giants are doing right now is, if you look at his usage game after game, he's being limited to about three or four innings each start. And I think what the Giants are trying to do is kind of, you know, back end his innings for later in the year, so that, you know, when he does come up with the Giants, he still has innings, you know, left to go. I think the Giants are going to approach this possibly with an innings limit in mind. So I think what they're trying to do right now is not overdo it on the innings and just kind of hope that he has enough left for later in the year. So, I mean, it could be one start, and that would be surprising to me, but, you know, if a couple more starts like what we saw last night, I mean, he's going to be here before the All-Star break.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Yeah, and I'm good with the usage right now. If he's throwing three or four innings at AAA, as long as we get to see him for maybe five, six innings in September in a Giants uniform, I think everyone would be in agreement that that would be a great scenario for Giants fans. Jeff, one last one for you, because I know that you do track prospects so closely. If there's a name outside of Harrison and maybe Louis Matos and Marco Luciano who you've been following closely this season, who you think Giants fans should have on their radar, give us a name or two of guys who you're bullish on in this farm system.
Yeah, a couple of names stick out right now. The first one would be Wade Neckler, who was an eighth-round pick out of Oregon State University last year. I mean, he got a lot of playing time with the Giants in spring training, which is kind of surprising for somebody to be drafted and to already, you know, kind of appear in Major League camp. He wasn't a non-roster invitee officially, but he did spend a lot of time with the Giants earlier this year in spring training. So I think that was kind of to me a sign of how they view him. And, you know, he got promoted. He began the year in high A, which is with the Eugene Emeralds, and he got promoted to double A pretty quickly after only about 85 or 90 plate appearances, which is, you know, one of the faster moves to double A that I can remember for a Giants prospect in his first full pro season. So that's a name to watch. He's an outfielder. He has good speed. He puts the ball in play a lot. Uses the entire field. He's, you know, there's a lot to like there. And then another guy is another 2022 draftee is Carson Wisenhunt. He received a pretty quick promotion as well. He began the year in low A. He had a couple of nice starts. And, you know, he's quickly making a name for himself in high A and could even finish this year in double A, which would be a pretty good sign for the 22 draft class that, you know, two of their guys could reach double A or even higher by the end of the first full season. So those are a couple of guys that stick out. There's plenty more. It's been a pretty there's been a lot of positive momentum with the Giants farm system this year. So pretty encouraging stuff.
Yeah, a lot of fun to keep track of everything, and I always do so. Every morning I'm scrolling Twitter, at BaseballJeff1, where you get the updates on the top performers in the Giants farm system. It's super valuable. I love it, I got to say. You just present the information, I can digest it. It's super quick. So, Jeff, we will continue reading your work at Around the Foghorn, and I will continue consuming your tweets each and every morning at BaseballJeff1. Thank you so much for joining us here on KNBR tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kerry. The pleasure is all mine.
All right. He is Jeff Young. More coming up next. You're listening to KNBR tonight. Kerry Crowley in for FP Santangelo. KNBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.